Chairperson, sisters and brothers, comrades and friends, I bring to you all gathered here in the name of Malcolm X, revolutionary and anti-imperialist greetings from Nigeria and West Africa. We join you all in celebrating the legacy of Malcolm X, a legacy of struggle which the enemies of human freedom in America and beyond have tried in vain to kill. The radical and revolutionary forces in Nigeria and West Africa wish to be counted among the new generation of fighters committed to continuing this radical tradition of struggle against imperialism and for the freedom of all oppressed peoples, nationalities, nations, and races of the world. Malcolm X, Che Guevara, Nkrumah, and others in that historical bracket taught us and emphasized over and over again the international character of imperialism. From this, they deduced the irreducible need for the struggle against imperialism to be international, and for the various national organizations engaged in this battle to be linked together in radical internationalism. We in Nigeria and West Africa rededicate ourselves to this principle, for we are convinced more than ever before that although imperialism can be weakened in different parts of the world, this historically anti-people system can be defeated only on an international level. In particular, we are convinced, as Malcolm X and others have taught us and has been repeated in this conference, that the liberation of African Americans and the acquisition of true independence by Africa are linked. We in Nigeria and West Africa rededicate ourselves to the revolutionary solidarity and unity of action dictated and informed by this conclusion. We ask for the same dedication and commitment from other national sections of this global struggle. In this regard, it is definitely unacceptable that while anti-imperialist organizations, national liberation movements, and socialist organizations in America and the third world are linked to similar organizations in Europe, they are hardly linked to one another. We are not anti-Europe, we are not anti-race, or anti-anything for that matter. We are only saying that those who constitute the base and focal point of the struggle must be linked in the first instance. The black nation in America and the third world constitute the base and focal point of anti-imperialist and national liberation struggles. And with the present crisis in Eastern Europe, the center of gravity of socialist struggle has virtually shifted to the third world. We must apprehend the implications for our struggle of the East European tragedy. The question has been asked in this conference whether black liberation and social revolution are on the agenda in America and the third world. To this important question, we say yes. In America, black liberation is not only on the agenda, it is being fought for right before our very eyes. The struggle has recorded successes, it has also recorded drawbacks. It has claimed many victims, including Malcolm X, whom we are celebrating today. It has received inspiration from Africa and the third world. It has also received demoralizingly bad examples from the continent of Africa. The struggle has seen traitors, but it has also recorded heroes. But the struggle continues and will not end until freedom has been achieved. It does not matter to us now whether black liberation in America will come in form of territorial separateness, or whether it will come in form of a truly united, truly integrated, truly democratic, multiracial, and multinational society. In any case, the choice does not depend entirely on African Americans. Imperialists and white supremacists will have to make their own choice. Our task is to continue to pose the challenge, freedom or permanent struggle. Black liberation and social revolution are on the agenda in the third world. In Africa, they have been on the agenda for at least 50 years. With a few exceptions, what we had in the 1950s and 1960s was not independence, but betrayal of independent struggle. The noise that came from Africa was not that of independence celebration, but the celebration of betrayals. 40 years later, we are yet to settle accounts with that betrayal by going beyond it. Whether we conceive the social revolution in Africa as that of completion of anti-colonial revolution, which was betrayed, or a popular democratic revolution, or a socialist revolution, or indeed a combination of two or all of these forms, the point we wish to make here is that the black liberation and social revolution are on the agenda in Africa and the third world, and they are being fought out right now. And we adopt in this struggle an internationalist posture regarding black liberation in America as an inseparable part of this struggle. You may know very little about our struggle in Nigeria and West Africa. This is because imperialism and its native allies control the means of communication and the means for creating the means of communication. But let me say here that the history of Africa is not a history of tribal wars. It is not a history of Europe's civilizing mission. It is not a history of constitutional conferences between the colonizers and the feudal and bourgeois leaders. It is not a history of treaties between the oppressed and the oppressors. It is not a history of peaceful development in homogeneous societies. It is not a history of kings and queens. On the contrary, the main feature of African history, truthfully researched and observed, is that it is a simultaneous process of making and unmaking, of struggles and betrayals. One aspect of this simultaneous process is that while certain social forces have been building and making the continent, restoring the humanity and pride of its people, other social forces, under the inspiration and support of imperialism, have been dragging the continent to second slavery through the debt question. In Nigeria, there is now an organization called the Movement Against Second Slavery. It emerged last year during an anti-IMF campaign led by students, youth and unemployed. A conservative figure of 50 was put at the death toll. Brothers and sisters, I say it again. Nigeria you read about in the newspapers and hear over the radio and television is not the Nigeria that exists in reality. The Nigeria that exists in reality is a country of hungry, exploited, desperate, betrayed, and cynical people. It is a country where public authority is completely alienated from the people, where falsehood, insensitivity, and mass deception have been raised to the level of state policy. It is a country where there is no iota of faith between the governors and the governed. It is a capitalist country, quite all right, but one with an extremely corrupt, bankrupt, and philistinic ruling class, and which combines all the known maladies, inequalities, and irrationalities of capitalism. It is a country where oppression, poverty, disease, exploitation, ethnic jingoism, religious manipulation, unemployment, armed robbery, and drug trafficking are the orders of the day. It is a country of dialectical extremes, extreme poverty, and extreme wealth. It is a fascist country where the citizens have no meaningful rights. That is the Nigeria that exists in reality. But we are struggling against the reality as we are doing here, and together we shall vanquish here and there. I shall conclude, sisters and brothers, from where I started, namely imperialism. We in Nigeria and West Africa are apprehensive of the emergence of a new system of imperialism. For we are aware that always, as always, oppressed peoples and nations will be the victims. We are here talking of an international system which, at least in the short run, will not have to worry about the challenge of Eastern Europe. We are here talking of an emerging international system led by the rulers of America and Britain, and which has no organized global opposition, even a potential one. Internationally, brothers and sisters, we can no longer take for granted the support of Eastern Europe. It was this new imperialist system that invaded Panama, an independent country, cut off its head of state, and put him in prison in foreign lands, and installed a new regime. All in the name of democracy, democracy which this same imperialism has denied the black and colored population in its own territory. We are speaking of an imperialist system which is now threatening to engulf the world in a conflict whose end no one can predict, all in the name of oil, but under the cover of democracy and territorial integrity, aspirations which this imperialist system has refused to concede to 20% of its own citizens. And in pursuing this imperialist intervention, wretched national leaders across the globe, leaders of client states, including Africa, your Africa, fake leaders of false independence are being mobilized to confront a nation which, with all our genuine grievances against its leadership, will in future be recognized as having tried to restore the dignity and pride of oppressed people and oppressed nations of this world. Brothers and sisters, we are here speaking of a new imperialist system under whose cover inspiration and support two brutal West African military dictatorships have intervened in Liberia, in Liberian Civil War, to save a fellow dictator from being removed by a popular, armed, but mark you, civilian uprising. And when imperialism and its client states failed to save this dictator, they helped to eliminate him. Here, imperialism lived up to its own tradition, eliminating puppets when they are no longer of use, and propping up new puppets, but preventing the victory of people's will. Imperialism and its client leadership in Africa intervened in Liberia not to end a civil war, not to restore democracy, not to save lives, but to prevent a historic example from being made in West Africa, namely the removal of a military or militarized dictatorship in an armed popular uprising. But here, imperialism is pitching itself against history. For oppressed people everywhere will continue to fight for freedom and will achieve liberation by any means necessary. Including armed uprising. It was an American president who warned us in a hypocritical twist that whoever makes a peaceful change impossible makes a violent change inevitable. We accept his teaching. In the name of popular democratic forces in Nigeria, I apologize to the Liberian people for the crimes that have been committed against them and their country. A government of a liberated Nigeria will in future offer an apology to the state of Liberia. And I hope Liberians will understand that what is happening now is against our will. In this renewed struggle against imperialism, let us rehabilitate our heroes by continuing their radical tradition of struggle. Let us lift the banner of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Eduardo Mondlane, Che Guevara, Nelson Mandela, Fidel Castro, Kwame Nkrumah, Sekou Touré, Dema Bese, Nat Turner, Cedric Douglas, Du Bois, Henry Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Paul Robeson, Steve Diko, Thomas Sankara, which are overcome.